Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Welcome back. As promised, Tim Staples here. Tim Staples, senior apologist here at Catholic Answers, the author of Behold Your Mother, a biblical and historical defense of the Marian doctrines, and the behind one of the most popular Catholic talks ever given, Jimmy Swaggart Made Me a Catholic. It's not how Jimmy Swaggart. Swaggart Made Me a Catholic.
Jimmy Swaggart Made Me Catholic.
Still, people talk about that talk. Welcome, Tim Staples.
Hey, it is good to be with you, my friend, Cy Kellett.
We're going to talk about Protestantism. We're going to talk about
Protestantism. I agree.
I told Tom we shouldn't drink before the show, and then he said that's not really true.
I was sick.
Well, remember that guy Foster? What was his name?
Foster Brooks.
Yeah.
He was the best.
Look him up, kids, if you've never seen Foster Brooks.
That's right.
But we'll talk about Protestantism and all that. But you came with an announcement.
You
decided to make an announcement today.
Yeah. Well, you know, some folks know already, but a lot of folks don't, that I am going to be leaving Catholic Answers as a full-time employee. I will no longer be senior apologist here at Catholic Answers as of June 30th. That is my last day. And that will be a very sad day for me because this is not something that I wanted at all. I wanted to be here at least till I was 100.
Yeah, right. I know you did.
But, due to my health situation, as a lot of folks know, I had a major stroke about 5 years ago. And never recovered fully, which, you know, my neurologist had prepared me for that most likely I would never be 100%, but you do your therapy and you try as best you can. And I'm not able any longer to work full time. So, yeah, I will be leaving on June 30th. And I have to say, though, 21 years here. At Catholic Answers, coming up on 22, it's just been absolutely incredible. You know, I've said it so many times, Cy, you've heard me say it. I can't believe I've been paid to do this. I feel like I should be paying somebody to be able to do what I have done. And not just the last 21 years, but most especially with Catholic Answers, but the last 32 years working as a professional apologist have been the most glorious years of my life. I thank everyone here at Catholic Answers, Chris Check, most of all, the Prez, John Sorensen, the COO, and Phil Linehan, and you, Cy, and all the apologists, man. It's bittersweet, but I feel like I'm leaving Catholic Answers stronger than Catholic Answers has ever been. We have the best team here. The apologists are the best apologists we've had here. And we've had some good ones over the years. But, as a team, there just does not exist a better crew of apologists with Trent Horn and Joe Heschmeyer and Dr.
Carlo
Broussard, Jimmy Akin, Tom Nash. And I know there's going to be more coming because this apostolate is just ever poised to just take off. And I think that's already happening here. So thanks to everyone. But I also have to say, I'm not going to be gone completely because I'm still going to be on the Speakers Bureau here at Catholic Answers. So you can still get me to come to your parish through Catholic Answers. I'll be writing some stuff every now and again, and I'll always give Catholic Answers the first right to anything that I write because I love these guys. So you'll be hearing from me here and there. And I am also going to new employment. You say, wait a minute, I thought you said you can't do this anymore. Well, I can't work full time, which is something I've discovered, you know, over these years. And I tried, but I just simply, it ain't in me. My brain tells me when I'm done.
Right. It really does too, doesn't it?
It does.
It's not a negotiation at that point.
That's right. Yeah. When the brain shuts down, you just, wow, you're at your computer 1 minute, and next minute it's like, okay, time to lay down. But I am able to work part-time, and some wonderful people at an apostolate called LAMS, which stands for Lay Apostolate of Mary, Brothers and Sisters. It is a fantastic apostolate that I am now officially a consultant with. It's a fantastic program. Our website has not gone live yet. I am presently going through the entire website, which is, it's a big job. But it really is fantastic, and making corrections, hopefully to expand as well. But the mission, the template that's there is absolutely awesome. In fact, it's an organization that is aimed at Catholic families in the context of a parish setting, but families, strengthening families and individuals to live our Catholic faith in the middle of the world. And there are seven pillars that sort of are the foundation. Yeah, that's what pillars are. And that is, first, what's called the perfect filial consecration to the Immaculate Heart of the Blessed Mother, which was penned by the late, great Father Aloysius Elicuria, who you know of. He was a saint, and his cause has been introduced to becoming a saint. So in a sense, you know, he was a friend of the founders of this apostolate back in 1963. So Father Aloysius' fingerprints are all over this thing, including the filial consecration that is kind of the pillar among the pillars of this organization. And then real quickly, Eucharistic adoration, the universal call to saints, to be saints, living the divine mercy, which you know is my heart, my brother.
Yes, I know.
The mercy of God, which, you know, beginning with the council and Pope St. Paul VI, and then rocketed with Pope St. John Paul the Great. Divine mercy, living the divine mercy, the marriage crucifix, which is that fourth pillar, which again is, this is kind of such a fit for me because I love the theology of marriage, Fulton Sheen's, you know, three to get married, and our Blessed Lord and the crucifix must be at the center of each and every marriage, rooted in sacrifice, forgiveness, and so forth. And then another, tell me this isn't dear to my heart. That was the fifth pillar. You got filial consecration, number one, Eucharistic adoration, number two, number three, universal call to sanctity, four, living the divine mercy, five, the marriage crucifix, six, Christmas is Christ's birthday.
Really?
It's the call to
this is
family.
Like the perfect apostolate for you. I didn't even know that that was in there. This is like the perfect apostolate
right.
for you.
And the seventh pillar is building leaders for parish renewal. And it's, you know, I'm going to imbue some apologetics. You might get that. It's already there, but that's my new work. I'm excited about it. There's a fantastic team there. We have a board, a wonderful board. And everybody's champing at the bit. So, you know, I'm not going to be bored.
Mm-hmm.
There's a good board. That doesn't mean I'm going to be bored. No, this is exciting. So you guys will hear from me. Every once in a while, I'm told you guys might invite me back to be on this broadcast. You know,
if you mean every Stinking weak, but yeah, every once in a while, yeah.
Yeah, so thank you for allowing me to share this, because it's going to be really painful. It's not real, even though I already have an office at my other job, and I'm starting on the website and everything. It's just not real. It hasn't really fully hit me yet that I'm actually leaving full-time employment with Catholic Answers. So I just wanted to thank you, Cy, for allowing me come on, share this. And thanks to everybody. And man, there's nothing to be sad about, because hey, we're gonna be working together in the vineyard one way or another.
Well, I gotta tell you, a listener on YouTube, just one in Webster, said, "I didn't know Tim had a stroke before. Wow, I wouldn't have known." And I got to tell you, just one in Webster, I think a lot of people would not have known, but I only know a small part of the story, and it's been a story of tremendous effort, struggle, courage, and surrender on Tim's part and on his wife Valerie's part. It's been extraordinary. So, I hope that people will understand that this is not like Tim's. Yeah. There's one guy in the whole world who would never quit apologetics. He'd be on his deathbed going, "Wait, one more thing I got to tell you about to help the person who's Tim. I'm not sure about becoming Catholic. Let me tell you one more thing." You know, that would be Tim. Always when we were out anywhere, traveling or at a parish or wherever we were. The last guy to finish talking, we were all in the van, like all the luggage is in the van. We're just waiting for Staples to stop trying to convert the waiter or, something like that. And so it's a weird kind of poetic, surprise, I guess. I don't know how to say it, Tim, but it's a cross that you've been asked to carry. And God bless you. I know that from the earliest moments when you knew something very serious was wrong, you thank the Lord for it. I wouldn't have been my first thought. To be honest with you.
Serious, folks, go to my website at timstaples.com and scroll down a little bit, and you'll see an article I wrote called "The Blessing of Having a Stroke."
This is Tim's thing, man. You got to read that.
And it really has been. And my wife would tell you if she was sitting here, it's been a transformation for my wife and myself, our marriage, as well as for our kids, because my kids got to know me,
And how do they feel about you?
I think they like me. They're listening I think they're okay with me anyway. Yeah. They're not wanting to kick me out anyway.
That hasn't come up.
But, it is something that back in the day, Cy, I used to, back before I was at Catholic Answers and then the first years of being at Catholic Answers, I used to do 36 to 40 conferences a year.
That's insane.
Three weekends a month and sometimes a little bit more than that. And this is one way the Lord says, guess what? You're going to slow down.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I guess so.
And it's more than just that, of course. It's really a blessing, because our Lord, when you're laying on the floor, not knowing, if you're going to survive or whatever, there's nowhere to, there really is, Cy, nowhere to look but up.
No.
You can't, it's, all right, Lord, I'm yours, because I couldn't even, when it first happened, I lost my legs. I couldn't use my legs. Had to kind of get on the walker, and it wasn't that I had to learn to walk so much. Well, I guess, because, I just didn't have any strength in my legs. I couldn't walk, and so you just kind of, over time, you get it back, and, God has brought me a long way. It's just that, this is a cross, as you said. And I am joyfully, accepting this cross, because I've just seen too much good come from it not to.
God bless you, Tim. God bless you. Of all the things, and I've seen so many things from Tim Staples, that the way you have carried this cross is incomparable. Nothing like it. And God bless you, brother. I'm sorry that this day has come. We're going to do Tim Staples Week. We told you about this, right? Or am I surprising
you? No, you're surprising me.
Okay, never mind. We got nothing coming up in August. August is going to be a completely normal month with nothing. Right back with your calls for Tim Staples. I don't care what you ask him about. Today, look, for the next 45 minutes, ask him whatever you want. I don't care. We'll be right back. 888-318-7884.
Yes. Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
Do you have a question but prefer to ask it privately? Catholic Questions can help. Go to CatholicQuestions.com to ask your question online, email us, drop us a letter, or give us a call. Longtime Catholic Answers Live apologist and author Jim Blackburn or another Catholic Questions apologist will be happy to assist you. Catholic Questions proudly supports Catholic Answers Live, so visit us at CatholicQuestions.com today. That's CatholicQuestions.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features texts of daily Mass, prayers, articles, meditations, art commentaries, and more, in step with the liturgical rhythm of the Church, on the web at Magnificat.com.
EWTN is everywhere. EWTN radio programming is provided free of charge to over 500 domestic and international AM and FM radio stations. It's a great teaching tool for Catholics and non-Catholics alike. For a complete list of EWTN AM and FM stations across America, visit EWTNradio.net. At the bottom of the page, click Affiliates. EWTN is the global Catholic network.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Tim Staples, our guest, as he will be many times more. We certainly hope and pray. 888-318-7884 is the number to call if you've got something to say. But I was supposed to ask you a question, and I got caught up in things and never asked you. We have we do opener questions. So we're 18 minutes into the show, but I'm going to do the opener question. All right. So you were a Protestant minister, trained, you know, to minister to people in
the Assemblies of God.
Assemblies of God, yeah. So you know all the good arguments against Catholicism. You learned them. So I want to ask you, what do you think was the best argument against Catholicism when you were Protestant?
Well, I personally, you know, if I had a list of the 10 best, I know that's not your question, but if I was going to give you my top 10 things that I thought was the craziest, six of them would have been Marian, right?
Really?
Out of 10.
Wow.
But I have to say the number one, the thing I thought was absolutely insane was the belief that Catholics eat Jesus in the Eucharist, all right? That to me was, you got to be kidding me. Nobody really believes that. Can I tell you a quick story? Because when I was in my Odyssey and engaged with my famous interlocutor, who I hope's listening right now, Matt Dula, there was we were having our battle over the Eucharist, which again, I thought, you know, there's no way this guy, I just didn't believe anybody really believed it. I honestly did. I just thought, nobody can really believe this, right? You've got to eat, really? You're going to eat Jesus? When Jesus said, well, anyway, so I'm doing research when I'm battling with Matt Dula, I'm doing research. I'm reading. He gave me books like Ludwig Ott's Fundamentals of Catholic Dogma, and I'm reading it. He gave me The Church Teaches by the Jesuit Fathers of St. Mary's, and I'm reading it. Canons and Decrees of Catholic Councils. I'm reading all of them. I'm going through it. I'm tearing it up, right? And I discovered that these crazy Catholics, now catch this, folks listening right now, I discovered these crazy Catholics actually believed that when Jesus said the words on Holy Thursday, when he instituted the priesthood and the Eucharist, when he said, "This is my body," he was no longer holding bread in his hand. He was holding himself. I discovered this, right? And I'm like, I know Matt doesn't even know that they believe something this crazy, right? Yeah. So Jesus is holding himself in his own hands. Are you kidding me? Right? So I couldn't wait to get at him.
Yeah.
You know, next day, I was in Marine Corps, the next day at work. And so I launch it on him and say, you understand that not only when Jesus, but now the priest, when he says, "This isn't my body," he's no longer holding bread in his hand. He's no longer holding wine in that chalice. but it's the precious blood, they say, of Jesus. And that bread is no longer bread, but it's Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity. You understand that. I mean, that is the picture of insanity. And Matt looked at me, man, deadpan, and said, "What? You don't believe God can do that, Tim? Man, you don't have a very high opinion of God, do you?" Right? And that was just like a left hook from Mike Tyson out from nowhere, because I kind of expected, you know, he doesn't really, he's going to say what, unfortunately, a lot of malformed or uninformed Catholics will say, "Well, you know, no, we don't really believe it. It's a spiritual presence."
Oh, yeah, right.
Presence.
Right.
It's not, you know, or something like that. But he answered it just like that, bam, with such faith. That rocked my world. And I went on fighting with, "Well, you know, I think that's crazy. Jesus is not meaning that." And you go to John 6:53, and we had our battle. But I could not shake that. I went to bed that night, and those words are in my head. "What, you don't think God can do that?" And then you look at those words, and my goodness, you know, Saint Cyril of Jerusalem, you know, famously said it when Jesus declared those words, "This is my body, this is the chalice in my blood." His word, that is God's word, is more powerful than nature. And when he speaks, nature must give way.
Right.
And this is the faith of Christians for 2,000 years. That revolutionized my world, because with those books that he gave me, I'm reading Faith of Our Fathers, James Cardinal Gibbons, and I mentioned Ludwig Ott and St. Augustine and other books that he gave me, and I'm reading it. I'm going through Lightfoot's Apostolic Fathers, you know, and we're talking about Apostolic Fathers. These are folks who had contact with the apostles. And this is the faith of these people. And then you go beyond to St. Justin Martyr, St. Irenaeus, St. Clement of Alexandria, to St. Cyprian and of Carthage. And down you go, and you get nothing but. So, you know, what I found is, Si, that the things that I thought were the craziest that Catholics taught were the very things that made me Catholic.
Yeah, is that, I was thinking when you said six of the ten are Marian, and then the Eucharist, and these are the two things that are the center of your life, basically.
Amen. Now. And then we have to put the papacy right in there.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
You know, and that's it. You show me somebody that understands the papacy, the Eucharist, the Blessed Mother, you've got a Catholic for life.
Yeah, right.
And
that's
for
right.
all eternity.
Jason in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, listening to EWTN on Channel 130 Sirius XM Satellite Radio. We're awful glad you're here, Jason. Go ahead with your question.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, Tim.
Yes.
So I grew up in Catholic school, and then later I met the Lord through the Assemblies of God, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, praise God, brother.
But right now I'm Anglo-Catholic, really desiring to be Catholic and looking forward to going to OCII classes.
Oh, but, praise God.
One of my questions was, so the Catholic Church, and one of the difficulties when people ask me about why do you want to be Catholic, you know, they bring up church history and they look at some of the early popes who, I mean, some of the things that they did and were into were just, I mean, according to them, were straight up evil. And, and you look at the Inquisitions and you see a church that's supposed to be representing Christ and bringing people to Christ, and you look at that, how is that justified through the Catholic Church?
Right, right. Great question, my friend. And that was a big one for me as well. But, you know, here's what I would say to that. Like, when it comes to the Inquisition, I did a lot of reading, and I recommend to folks, there is a great book written by Benjamin Netanyahu, okay? Now, that's senior, not junior. It's the father of the now prime minister. Is he president? No, he's prime minister, right, of Israel, Bibi Netanyahu. His father, Benjamin Netanyahu Sr., who has since gone on to his reward, wrote a book on the Inquisition. It's fast. It's like 600 pages. It's quite a read, but it's phenomenal. I mean, here's a Jewish fellow. And you find him defending the Catholic Church like crazy in there. Not that, you know, everything was great with the Inquisition. There were problems. But what he points out is the historical fact that comparatively speaking, you have historical cases, my friend, where people were going before the secular courts of the day, and they would blaspheme purposely so that they could be sent to the Inquisition because it was known for being so fair. It was remarkably fair compared to the secular courts of the day. Unfortunately, a lot of what you read post-Reformation references to the Inquisition are greatly, greatly exaggerated. However, yeah, bad things happen there. But remember, these were courts that were not, you know, it wasn't the Pope running the Inquisition. No, the church was called upon by states like France, like Spain, famously, to examine cases to see if people had blasphemed, if people had contradicted the faith. Because, of course, back then, the church and state were so closely aligned, if you attack the church, you attack the state. So that, you know, anyway, tell you what, can we take a break? Because we got a hard break right now. Let me come back, and I want to change gears here to give some interesting facts to you.
Hang on, Jason, right back with more Catholic Answers Live. When the resurrected Jesus appeared to disciples on the road to Emmaus, they didn't recognize him until the breaking of the bread. The same is true today. In the Holy Eucharist, we really meet Jesus. In The Eucharist is Really Jesus, author Joe Heschmeyer explains how knowing Jesus in the Eucharist is the key to understanding all of Christian faith. Order your copy of The Eucharist is Really Jesus today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore.
Why do we baptize? Does it really do anything? In Baptism Now Saves You, Dr. Carlo Broussard explains the unbreakable relationship between baptism and salvation, making sense of the Church's teachings in a way that is easy to understand and ready to share. St. Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you." Discover what that means today. Order your copy of Baptism Now Saves You at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world, but it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun. And that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, of morals, the teachings of the church, all that, but he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs, but you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests, he does on-air debates, and he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, become a patron.
Have you had to put down a beloved pet? Tell us on tomorrow's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. And now back to Catholic Answers Live with Cy Kellett.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Tim Staples, our guest on the line, Jason in Pittsburgh. And Anglo-Catholic, he says, working his way towards full communion with the Catholic Church. But look, how do we make sense of all the bad things that happen? And you talked right about the Inquisition, for example, and this whole church and state thing is a completely different thing in those times.
It is. And that, you know, I had to toss that out, Cy. But the bottom line is, you know, yes, there have been great exaggerations, but the bottom line is we have to remember, my friends, that the church is not a museum of saints. It's a hospital for sinners. So, yeah, we've done bad things. Catholics have done bad things over the centuries, including popes. Absolutely. And we don't deny that. Our first pope, St. Peter, you know, denied Jesus three times. Now you say, okay, well, that was before the resurrection. Okay, let's go after the resurrection. St. Paul had to rebuke him in Galatians chapter 2, verse 9, where he wasn't living up to his own faith. St. Paul had to confront him and rebuke him. And down through the centuries, of course, that has happened many times. Pope St. John Paul the Great used to go to confession twice a week, I hear.
Did he really? Right?
That's what I was told.
Either you're the worst person in the world,
or you are really holy.
Or you're really holy if you're going twice a week.
That's right, because stuff we don't even see as
that's
sin.
The thing, right? That's right.
The holy person really sees. But the point is, though, we should not run from the fact that, yes, St. Peter was a sinner. We are all sinners. Unless you're Jesus or the Blessed Mother, guess what? You have sin, right? And we have to deal with that sin. And God knows that. That's why he gave us a couple of sacraments that really focus on that. Baptism takes away all of them, and confession takes away your post-baptismal mortal sins and more. So, yes, popes have done bad things. But you know what, folks? When you look at the holiness of the church, and this is what I try to do in my discussions with folks, I will acknowledge, look, the Borgia popes, we had Alexander VI, who, yes, he had six children, and he was not married. Well, we'll leave it at that, Cy Killett. Bad, not good. Yeah, I sound like George Bush Sr.
Bad. That's Tim's summary of the papacy of Alexander VI. We'll do the other popes another day.
Anyway, here, but the bottom line is, yes, but the fact is, look at how many, what is it? I want to say 67. It might be more now, canonized saints. Something tells me it's over 70 now. You might want to
look
that up. But canonized saints, we have tens, even dozens of martyrs among those popes, the early popes. In fact, there wasn't a long line to get in line to become pope in the early.
It never always ended the same way for a while.
That's right,
there.
A whole lot of them.
81.
Oh, is it 81?
81 saints.
Okay. 81 saints, something like 33 martyrs, or it might be right around
31.
There. Is it 31?
Yeah.
All right. I'm getting a little rusty.
I'm going by the wiki, so
yeah,
I would trust you.
But the point is, look, 31 martyrs. The level of holiness in the church, the saints in every generation have changed this world literally for our blessed Lord. And so that was one of the things that attracted me to the church, was when I really started diving in and took a healthy look at the lives of the saints and the holiness of the church. And my friends, it is a unique institution. It's the largest charitable organization in the entire world. There's nothing close that reaches out to the entire world that is the poor, and its evangelistic works have literally changed the world. So anyway, that's just a few little tidbits for you, my brother.
Thanks very much, Jason, for the call. We come now into the studio. It's always nice when people come in, and it's very nice when our guest, George, comes in. George's been to seven
conferences.
Of our conferences. He's the author of this beautiful new book, Catholic Positive Energy.
Hey.
And some of you know him from the internet, from his Catholic Positive Energy YouTube page. George, welcome, first of all.
Thank you very much, Cy. Great to be here, and thank you for that. I also want to mention you were the one who did the foreword for my book right there.
All right.
I want to give you some credit.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. I see you're not wearing my T-shirt, though. You're wearing the L.A. Knight. But that's okay. That's fine.
Wanted to show off my wrestling fandom.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. George, go ahead. You got a question for Tim?
Yes. I once had somebody ask me this, and I didn't know what to say. Tim,
okay.
If priests are able to absolve people of their sins, why can't they do that to themselves of their own sins?
Right, right. You know, the sacraments, like our Christian lives, are ordered to the other.
Oh, yeah.
There's no such thing as confecting any sacrament on yourself, because by nature they are relational. And they also involve, what is that word? Closeness, Si?
Oh, he's going to make me say it. Propinquity.
Propinquity. Yes.
Propinquity.
That's
is required.
A very, very ancient tradition. It goes all the way back to Jesus. That's why you can't go to confession over the phone. Because
yeah,
it's required propinquity. That is closeness to the one who is being used by the Lord to confect that sacrament. So there is no sacrament. You can't baptize yourself. You can't hear your own confession. No, there has to be the other. And really, isn't that the gospel?
Yeah.
All right? Jesus came. He preached the gospel. He sent them out two by two. It's face to face. That's the way the gospel is really ordinarily to be propagated. This is why I am a huge fan of door-to-door, knocking on doors, yeah, evangelizing out in the street. You know, our friends, the
St. Paul Street Evangelists?
St. Paul. Oh, gosh. I love yes. those guys. I remember when they first started years ago,
yes.
many years ago. Those guys are fantastic. That's really the way. Now, is radio bad? Of course not. It's good. Good. Yes, not bad. Good. Right? And all sources of media. But there is no exchanging for the person-to-person sitting down and talking about Jesus. There is something about that, George, mm-hmm. that is powerful. And eventually, even if someone is evangelized online through Catholic Answers Live and such, you eventually got to go to that parish and sit down with a priest in order for Jesus to touch you through the ministry of that priest. So that's basically the answer there, George.
Okay. All right, George.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right, brother.
Thanks for coming in, George. You too. We love you too, George, and we're glad you came in. We're always glad when you come around.
Thank you very much.
Well, all right, on we go. Let's see. I'm going to go. I have time to get to the phones before I have to take another break.
Propinquity.
I know this guy.
Propinquity. Yes.
Are you practicing saying propinquity? This is an old friend of ours, Gil, in Long Island. Hey, Gil.
Hi, Tim Staples.
Gil, I have not heard from you in a long time, brother. How you been?
I haven't been doing well.
Because
I had a roommate that was making noise at night, keeping me awake.
Uh-huh.
It ended up causing me to get tardive dyskinesia, which is of the mouth.
Yeah.
Oh. Wow. Well, we will put you on the prayer list, Gil. Do you hear that, Val? I know my wife and my kids they're usually listening, so we will put you on our prayer list. You'll be in our rosary tonight.
Because I'm so weak, I'm not able to read as well as I used to. So I'm having a lot of issues because I'm on psychiatric meds.
Gotcha.
Which helped me for a long time. But now when I take something called Cogentin, it makes my mouth very dry, and then it starts to affect the rest of the body. And
right.
I've never felt weaker in my life like this before.
Gil.
And I'm feeling hopeless. I asked 700 Club to pray for me, and they did. They prayed about my sleep situation, and it was a good answer to prayer. But I wish I had the faith that they have. They have such a strong belief in,
Well, Gil, before you go on, let me ask our listeners to pray for Gil tonight. Gil's been calling the show for years, I'm very sorry. You're taking the meds for a good reason, but then they've got these side effects. And so we're going to pray for you.
That's my point.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm worried about my eye right now because I had intravenous water in my body, which helped both eyes to feel better. But now that I'm not on that, the pain came back. Now it's on my right eye and my left eye, not so bad. But it's making me physically very weak. When I try to read the Bible in Braille, it's kind of heavy. Than it used to be. Everything seems heavier. My strength is not.
Yeah, your strength is down, Gil. Yeah.
Because of the medications. Yeah. I wish I could go back to time, where I was, where I did ask for another room and I got it recently. I got my own room, so I don't have to worry about him keeping me awake at night. But I just want to know, how do I believe? Because, Mark 11:24, I brought that up before.
Yes.
Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you will receive it and it will be yours. But I wish I had that faith, like 700 Club, help out my unbelief. They were very nice to me. They prayed for me.
God bless them.
God bless them.
And I'm going to be playing the keyboard tomorrow, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to show up. I hope I can, because we're having a Protestant man and bringing in people from his church, and he wanted me to play with him because he's going to bring his saxophone. And I'm just worried that I might not be able to make it because I'm so weak. But I'm still going to try anyway.
Yeah. God bless you,
brother. I'm going to be playing What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Praise God. Yeah. Good for you.
Tim,
what do you do when you're down like this?
You know what, brother? I think Mark 11:24 is obviously, that's from the lips of our blessed Lord, and it's a beautiful text. For those who don't know, that's where Jesus famously said, "What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you shall receive them and you shall have them." That is a beautiful promise from our blessed Lord. That, and what he's saying to us there is he loves us and he wants to give us good things. He is God, our Heavenly Father. And Jesus says it multiple times, right, in the Sermon on the Mount. You know, God wants to give us good things. But we always have to take, and I know we've talked about this before, Gil, but we also have to take that in its proper context, because you also have texts like 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, that says, whatsoever things we ask according to his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, we know we have the petitions we have asked of him. So, you know, sacred scripture tosses in that little bit of a caveat there, right? If it's according to his will. And so we have to remember, even the great Saint Paul, in, as you know, Gil, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 6, and you just keep reading down there to, I want to say, right around verse 12, Saint Paul talks about the thorn on the thorn in the flesh that he had. You know, brother, I can relate to that, having had three strokes. I talked earlier in this hour about my major stroke, but I've actually had three strokes. I had two, they used to call them mini strokes. Now they call them TIAs. And I always say they were a party next to the major stroke. The major stroke made those things look like a party. But, you know, that's kind of a thorn in the flesh. And I'm still feeling, and I most likely will, barring a miracle, and yes, Lord, I'm in the market for a miracle all the time. If you want to give me one. But that's a thorn in the flesh. And Gil, it sounds to me like that you have it as well. Well, St. Paul, even though we don't know exactly what the thorn was for St. Paul, we know this. He asked the Lord three times to remove it. The great St. Paul, he knows Mark 11:24. He knows the promises of Jesus. He is an apostle who, in that very text of 2 Corinthians 12, he starts by saying he was caught up into the third heaven and heard things that it's not even lawful for him to repeat. He saw our blessed Lord to a degree that you and I could not even dream of this side of the veil. And yet, he asked three times for the Lord to remove this thorn in the flesh, and the Lord basically said no. And the beauty of it, though, is that, and I think not just for St. Paul, though certainly it was for St. Paul, but it's for all of us, our Lord gave him the reason why, right? He said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for in your weakness I am made strong." Right? That's Jesus' way of saying no. All three times that Paul asked him, he got the same answer. No, no, and no. Why? My grace is sufficient for thee. And as a result of that, St. Paul says, I will therefore glory in my weaknesses. The Greek word there is infirmities. I will glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may dwell upon me. Right? That, my friends, is the heart of the gospel. Yes, Jesus heals. Yes, he does. At times, miraculous healings have happened in every generation for 2,000 years. But my friends, we also have to remember, we are going to die. Unless you're alive when Jesus comes, guess what? You know, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 5, Si, you've heard me quote that verse a lot of times. The living know that they must die. And that is the ordinary way, is that we suffer and we die. And the good news is that Jesus went before us and he suffered and he died so that we, empowered by him, can suffer and die. And just as his suffering and death was redemptive, ours can be in saving our own souls as well as for us walking in the footsteps of Jesus. As St. Peter says it in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, he says, you are called, all of us, you are called to walk in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Who? And you keep reading the next three verses down, 22, 23, and 24. Who, though he was a son, he was reviled and beaten. And I'll skip down to verse 24. And by his stripes, we were healed. Well, guess what? Gil, by your stripes, your sufferings, my sufferings, and we are both going through it, my brother, we can turn it over to our blessed Lord. And guess what happens? Not only will we be sanctified by allowing the grace of Christ to use this suffering to cleanse us of all of our evil tendencies and sins, inclinations, you name it. He will continue to purify us, but then we become, I call it grace machines, man, walking in the footsteps of Jesus. That's what St. Peter said in 1 Peter 2:21, so that we can say that we, by our stripes, others are healed as well as we are healed. And so, Gil, this is why this same St. Peter could say in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17, think it not strange concerning the persecution, the tribulations that you experience, as though it's something strange that's happened to you, but rejoice inasmuch as after having been made participants in the suffering, you will be made participants in the glory. That's 1 Peter 4, 16 and 17. And that's why St. Paul can say in Romans 8, 18, that the sufferings of this world are not even worthy to be compared to the glory that is to be revealed. We can take up our crosses. And remember, Jesus said in Luke 9, 23, unless you take up your cross. It's not just Jesus' cross that saves us. Of course it does. All right, because without the cross of Jesus, we're all lost. But Jesus is the one who said, unless you take up your cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple in Luke 9, 23. So when we take up our crosses, our little tiny crosses joined with the cross of Christ becomes the instrument whereby the power of God transforms us. And it's then in that context that we can say, Philippians 4:13 is real. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. And that includes overcoming the sin and the degradation of this world, the temptations of the devil. We can overcome all the obstacles that are thrown our way by the world, the flesh, and the devil, and we become more than conquerors through him who has loved us. I hope you're getting some of that, Gil.
Gil, did you get some of that?
I read those scriptures very well.
Praise God.
God has given me a great mind for scripture. Praise the Lord.
Praise God,
and,
brother.
I just don't like taking the Cogentin, which is supposed to help with the movement of the mouth. That medication makes my mouth dry, and then it affects my eyes, too. Yeah. Well, that's why they had to put water on me. Pills,
you're outside of our expertise, Gil.
Yeah.
When you're I have to say, you're in an area that I know nothing about. So,
Your doctor, brother. Tell your doctor that you're telling us.
Gil, thank you. I'm very, very late for the break, so I have to take the break. I want to tell you on YouTube, I saw people praying for you. I know lots of our audience is praying for you. Thank you for the call, Gil. We'll be right back with more Tim Staples on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
One of the biggest mistakes a Christian can make is to try to do good without God's help. Saint Therese said, when we trust only ourselves and not God, our soul becomes incapable of virtue. Her remedy? Works of charity. And the greatest work of charity is to share the gospel. At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we encourage you to share the gospel with someone who doesn't know Jesus. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. StreetEvangelization.com.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon with Dr. Marcus Peter, an engaging take on the church, culture, and current events.
Hi, I'm Marcus Peter. Tune in weekdays from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern as we examine the world around us, past and present, through the lens of faith from the heart of the church. So join me in conversation with our guests and call in with your questions.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon with Dr. Marcus Peter, tomorrow at 5 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kelly, your host. Tim Staples is our guest. 1 million people on the line, so back to the phones we go. Ezekiel in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Thank you for waiting, Ezekiel, first of all, and welcome. Go ahead with your question for Tim.
Hi, so I'm Catholic, and I was wondering, and I was looking at things from a Jewish perspective, and traditional Jewish prophecy states the Messiah will be a human king who gathers the Jewish people back to the Holy Land and rebuild the physical temple. So my question was, why should we accept the Christian reinterpretation that Jesus is God in the flesh and that he is the new temple and the gathering is spiritual when the Old Testament scriptures seem to say the exact opposite?
Right. It's a great question, my friend. And it's not a matter of the Old Testament or even the Old Testament people of God being wrong. It's just incomplete. Because when you look at the Old Testament, there is no doubt that the Messiah will be fully man. No Catholic, no Christian denies that. And they certainly got that aspect of it correct. But what they did not see, although when we say they, remember, many of them did see it, namely the Blessed Mother, right? The apostles, in fact, all the believers in the early church were Jews. Look at the day of Pentecost, 3,000 baptized. They were all Jews, all of them. And then a short time later, in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, where the Spirit comes again and the place where the apostles were was shaken, there was another, was it 4,000 or 5,000 baptized, right? So we're talking thousands upon thousands. And at that time, they were all Jews that were converting. And now, just with the idea that the Messiah would be God, there are lots of biblical texts that teach it, but they weren't so obvious. And you know, it's something to note about the Old Testament and Scripture in general is that everything is not just obvious. God does not come to the Jews and lay out everything in an obvious way all the time. Ask all of the prophets, right? Because the prophets were stoned. Jeremiah was thrown into a well. Isaiah was sawn asunder, all right? He was cut in half. And according to Jewish tradition, he was, you know, Si, he was cut long way when they sawed Isaiah in half. He was cut long way, not across the mid.
Ew.
Ew. God speaks in ways at times that the Jewish people in the Old Covenant didn't like and they didn't readily accept. So it's not a surprise that you would see Jesus saying in Matthew 23:37, right? Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, how oft I would have gathered you together as a hen doth gather her chicks, but you refused. Therefore, your house shall be left to you desolate and such. Well, let me just give, because we're almost out of time, some examples of what I'm talking about. Look at the prophecies, for example, of Malachi chapter 3, where you have the Lord is going to come suddenly into his temple after the precursor. Malachi prophesies that there will come a prophet, and that would be John the Baptist, who would come in the spirit of Elijah. But this is before what? The Lord himself, the Lord whom you seek, will suddenly come into his temple. So when Jesus walks into the temple on Palm Sunday, that's Almighty God walking into the temple. That was prophesied by the prophet Malachi in Malachi chapter 3. You have texts as well that Malachi chapter 5, gosh, I wish we had more time. Malachi chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, that talk about prophesying that the Messiah would come from Bethlehem, and his goings forth have been from eternity. That's the same Hebrew word used in Psalm 90, verses 1 and 2 of Yahweh, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Well, according to this text, the Messiah was going to be born, but he would also be from everlasting, meaning he's eternal as well. We have Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. His name shall be called Emmanuel. And remember, names in an ancient Hebrew context are not just, you know, appellations to give someone, but they reveal something about the one named. And he is called Emmanuel, God with us. I wish we had more time, but there's lots of them like that.
Hang on, Ezekiel. We'll give you Jimmy's new book, Evidence for Christ, if you'd like it. Tim Staples, thanks.
God bless you, brother.
That'll do it for us. We'll see you next time. God willing.